You ready?
Yes.
All right. This podcast is not credible.
Entertainment.
Entertainment is what we are. But we talk about, viewer discretion. We talk about murder. Well, today we're going to talk about murder, but more like missing disappearances.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is what it is. I'm Shaw Marie.
I'm Jean.
All right. Today, you guys, we are going to talk about Lewiston, Clark Valley. They're two separate towns, but they are connected. Up in northern Idaho, right?
Mm-hmm.
The northern. Yep. Very beautiful. We're going to talk about them today. They have some disappearances, y'all.
It's the middle northern part. It's the thick part of Idaho. The
stem part of Idaho. Yeah, it's right there. Like, Idaho and Washington, it's where we kiss.
Aww, that's such a cute way to say
it. Yeah.
And if you haven't gone, I suggest it because it is beautiful. We were just talking about history and haunted bars and hotels that you can stay at. That's her coloring on the wall.
That is my child coloring
on the wall. Yeah, it's gorgeous up there. Anyways.
It is.
Continue. Missing women.
Well, not women, but... Okay, so the Lewiston Clark Valley area is the triangle of Lewiston, Clarkston, and Aston. Ha ha. Right? Aston.
Not Ashton.
No, not Ashton. Aston. Located along the border, like I said, of Idaho and Washington, was named after the Lewiston Clark Expedition, which had camped at the Clearwater and Snake River during their westbound journey across the United States.
Mm.
Historical.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very pretty. Very boring ass drive, but it's really pretty.
Well.
But anyway. Even the paper says it's very beautiful. An oasis of rivers, forests, and rolling prairies, flatlands. It's fairly isolated from any major cities.
Mm-hmm.
True that.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bunch of those signs that say you have no service. That scare you?
The deer crossing.
Oh, that's my God. Fun. Yes. Yep. Those scary ass signs.
Recommend summertime, not wintertime, unless you're really brave. Mm.
No. Right.
Yep.
You guys, I didn't turn off my phone.
Naughty. I just did mine. It's okay.
Like a dick. Sorry about that. How rude of me.
How rude.
My face keeps twitching, guys, and I don't know why. It'll be fine.
Is this a conversation for later we need to have?
Who knows? Maybe I'm fucking dying right here.
No.
Who knows?
Not just on my watch.
Okay.
I gotta explain shit? No.
No, you'll be dead.
I know.
Okay, so during the late 1970s, for 3 years, Lewiston Clark Valley was under attack of a demon of their very own. They felt they knew the true identity of this person, but they could not do anything about it. And to this day, he has not ever been convicted for anything.
Now, this was back in 87?
1970s is where it starts.
Okay.
The very late, the last year of it, actually. So... It's weird. Everything connects and then we'll break off for like a second and then we connect again. It's super weird. And all I know is the next time that I go there, this theater is on my Google stops.
Are we going to go check it out?
Yeah.
How fun!
Next to the gas station with the amazing potato wedges. I don't know y'all's name, but... Mm!
So you were standing by that theater and had no idea the coolness of it?
Probably. Who knows?
Well, if you know about the gas station with the...
Oh, no. That's just along the drive.
Oh.
I just don't know the name of the gas station.
Oh, is it the KJ's?
No.
No.
Don't know it. It's along the drive, though, and they had... They smelled amazing. It's a tragic story. That's my own tragic story. Hold on. We will...
Road trips have the best memories,
though. The best.
Yeah. They really
do. The best. But it was when I was headed. Together. Yeah, it's when I was headed up to the hotel.
Yeah.
There was a gas station. So sad. Can't remember it, so I can't find it, and it just breaks my heart. So if you guys live on that route and have a gas station with amazing potato wedges, let a bitch know.
Were they like the double fried ones that were just perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could smell them in the gas station, like in the parking lot, because I just stopped for gas.
Yeah.
And then someone opened the door of the gas station, and I was like, what the fuck is that?
Guess I'm going inside.
And I did. Don't regret it. But yeah. Where is that hotel?
In Lewiston?
Yeah. No, the hotel we stay at. Is it in Lewiston? It's not in Lewiston.
No, that is in Post Falls,
Coeur d'Alene. Yeah, in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah.
That's where I'm talking about. So from Idaho Falls to Coeur d'Alene, if you guys know of any gas stations with amazing potato wedges, let me know. There was
it in Dubois?
No. I was way farther than that. Jesus Christ. I don't know. Let me know. There was a bunch of exits that, like, it was like in a canyon, and there was a bunch of exits, and there was like a gas station off to the right-hand side. That's all I know.
Was it a truck stop or a gas station?
Gas station. If it was a truck stop, Gina, I would have said a truck stop.
Well, goddammit.
It was a gas station. I don't know the fucking difference.
Anyway.
Sorry, that was a way left field. I haven't even told you guys what it is yet, so it's not like you guys can judge me. You guys want to know? Okay, yes, I'll tell you.
Please?
Okay, I'll tell you. Okay. So, on April 28th, 1979, 12-year-old Christina Lee White vanished from Aston, Washington. Like I said, y'all, we're kissing. Idaho and Washington, we're kissing. So we're super duper close. She's 5'4", 135 pounds, brown hair, brown eyes. Liked being outdoors, heavily involved in the church, described as in the family as hyperactive. She would have been a lively seventh grader, at Anniston Elementary School in the fall. On the Saturday that she was last seen, she was excited about the annual county fair that had rolled into town. At some point that day, wearing blue jeans, red leather shoes, a pink striped shirt, she made it to the Aston County Fair. However, around 2:30 p.m., she called her mother and told her she was not feeling well and that she wanted her to come pick her up. She had suffered from heat exhaustion in the past, so her mom knew that she was prone to have heat strokes, but did not have access to a car right away.
She didn't have wheels.
Yeah. And so what she was doing was helping her friend get her horse ready.
Oh, okay.
For the fair. And then it just got too fucking hot. Mm-hmm. She obviously was a teenager. She wasn't hydrated.
Yeah.
You know.
Excited. Busy.
Excited. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Forget to drink water.
My summers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But heat exhaustion sucks.
Is no joke. Yeah. Oh. So she's prone to this. So she calls her mom. She's like, I can't do anything for you. So she tells, well, she doesn't say that. She instructs her to put a wet towel on her neck.
Yeah.
And wait for her at the bottom of the hill. And like her mom's going to watch. We're going to watch. We're going to see each other. Bam, bam. So, Christina, they say, hopped on her pink bike and rode to a friend's home on 2nd Street where she asked for a wet washcloth to cool herself off with. Her friend, who was 10 years old at the time, later told police that he was in the backyard washing the dogs and did not see her when she arrived. His stepfather, however, came to Christina's aid, applying a wet washcloth to her and to her neck. When the stepfather later was questioned by police, he admitted to being the last person to see her alive, but claimed that he had simply helped her and sent her on her merry way home.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, her mother waited anxiously at the bottom of the hill, growing more concerned. She began looking for her, asking everyone if they had seen her. Her father went to the carnival and looked, had no luck. They went like And the police were called to the fairgrounds. They had no luck. They investigated the carnival employees, and they didn't find any evidence that they were involved in her disappearance whatsoever. Her father actually was not so satisfied with that, so he followed the carnival from town to town until he was satisfied that they had no involvement. So he followed them for just a minute. Little Christina White is still missing to this very day. Although she is believed to be deceased, her body has never been found.
Oh, those poor parents. Oh.
Yeah.
I've lost track of a child because, well, he was out partying and never came home until the next day. But those, just in those hours.
Freak out moment.
Wreck. Oh, you're bawling. You get no sleep at all. It sucks. So I can't imagine forever.
Right.
No. There's no closure.
No, dude. It's so and her up. Mom. So this case is featured on Cold Valley on the ID channel and another show on the ID channel. I have it written down here somewheres. But, Dark Minds, season 3, episode 3. Mm-hmm. So it's featured on a couple of different things. But the Cold Valley is two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... And I say this with the must up respect. This badass bitch detective named Jackie Nicholas. She'd be bad, folks. She's bad to the bone. Ignore that. Sorry. So now we're going to go to 22-year-old Christina Davies, a beautiful young woman that was described with almond-shaped eyes.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Just the shape of her eyes.
Oh.
They were striking.
Oh. She's beautiful.
Like everybody knows your hair, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She is beautiful. I will post everybody's pictures and all that. But I'll post everybody's pictures. But anyway. Okay. So, remember, she's like 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's a baby. Now, 22-year-old Christina Davies had blondish brown shoulder length hair. She was a student at the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho, which I hear that place is bitchin'.
Mm-hmm. Just I've been there saying. Too.
I hear they party there.
Oh, yeah. They get down.
They get down. Like I'm ratting you guys out. And it's right next to Washington. So.
It's a good school.
Yeah, yeah.
Go Vandals.
Oh. Go Vandals.
There you go.
Didn't even know.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's where she went. She was a bike rider. She was last seen Friday, June 26, 1981. So 2 years later. Riding her bicycle from Moscow to her summer job at the Twin Cities food plant.
Okay.
A pea processing factory in Lewiston, Idaho.
There's farm country up there.
Yeah, a bunch. It was not unusual. It was not an unusual bike ride for her. She had done this bike time ride a million times. Witnesses recall seeing her going down the hill. 17 miles.
Holy shit, every day?
I don't know if it was every day, but that's what it says. 17 miles from Lewiston. I don't know. MapQuest it while I go on and see how long it is on a bike ride.
Okay. See one more time on a bike ride. Lewiston to Moscow?
Yeah.
Okay.
That led into Lewiston the day she disappeared, so she was seen on the hill that goes down there. So, later another witness came forward claiming he might have seen her talking to someone in a brown van that stopped along Highway 95 to assist a young woman on the side of the road. Several days later, on Saturday, July 4th, 1981, two fishermen near Red Wolf Crossing Bridge in Lewiston, Idaho, were moving down the river in their boat when they noticed a black plastic garbage bag drooping in and out of the water on the north shore. Curiosity struck.
Oh, yeah, you can't leave litter there.
Can't do it. Shouldn't open it.
32 miles.
Oh, 32 yeah. miles. Oh, goddamn. That's a trike.
Yeah.
Anyway. Who the fuck does that?
Well, back in his 70s.
But damn.
I know. That's why I said she was probably hot.
Banging.
Yeah.
100%.
Because it's each way?
No. Each way.
Maybe.
Each way.
Okay. Anyways. Back to the story.
So out of curiosity, remember curiosity killed the damn cat. Inside, they found the remains of a woman's torso and leg.
Oh, no.
Not having a radio on their boat, they had to flag down another boat to ask to use their radio and then until the police arrived. Then the police came on the scene after searching the river just downriver from the bridge. Found more bags containing more human body parts, all within 300 yards of where the fishermen found the very first bag. Police noticed that the Red Wolf Crossing Bridge was long, isolated bridge with a clear, flat view of the road leading in each direction. Bam, bam. A great place for a kill... No, this, they don't say great. I'm saying a great place for a killer to dump bags on the bridge, likely in the middle of the night or in the morning hours. Evidence was sent to the state crime lab, who returned the result of there was nothing on her.
Same person, though.
They don't know. They just think. Hold on. Don't ruin it for everybody, Jean. Well, you only know. They don't.
No, I don't even know either.
That's right. So stop asking questions that make me think that you know. She's tricking me. The discarded body belonged to that of 20-year-old. They found her evidence, her DNA, sorry, that linked back to it being 22-year-old Christine Davies. David Davies. I don't know which one of those is right. But anyway, one of those fishermen on that day that discovered her body was the same man who was last seen helping cute little Christina White. Link. We must link it. Okay, so if the disappearances of two young women, one murdered, one just disappeared, sent the community of Clark Valley through a state of panic the night of September 12th, 1982, during of which three of their youth would disappear. Three of them. Three people disappear one night in September. And believe me, y'all, if you guys watch The Cold Valley, they walk the path of the sisters I'm going to tell you guys about.
Dude.
Scary. There's no way.
It's like Halloween when you're a drunk teenager walk with 30 people. Would you do it with 30 people?
No. Come on. I'd bitch slap my little sister for even mentioning it. Like, especially if we're walking somewhere and she's like, hey, let's take those stairs.
To the alley.
Yeah, I'd hit you and be like, okay, go die by yourself. Like, no shit.
No.
No shit. Those stairs were creepy. Anybody with any ounce of, like, paranoia, and I'm sure back then they weren't as creepy because they were probably newer, and over time they've gotten this creepy because this is years ago from obviously how old I am now.
Yeah.
So to me, it's creepy. To them, it could have been brand new. Not so creepy.
Well.
But today, hell no, I ain't walking up those stairs.
But wait a minute. This is 70s.
No, it's
80s, bro. It's a smaller town.
Yeah.
People probably left doors unlocked because you know every damn buddy.
Well, yeah. So what does that have to do with the scary stairs?
It's the shortcut. The other way is like
three blocks. Oh, I don't care.
No, dude, F you.
You're out of your mind.
We're going that way. We're taking the scary shortcut.
Nope, I'll meet you around and guess who's going to be there faster than you because I ain't going down.
You'd rather split up in the middle of the night.
No, you're coming with me, because believe me, I would throw a fit. We are not going. Like, we're not. And if we did go, the entire time, I would sit there and tell you how I'm going to blame you.
What if you had a blade in your hand?
Doesn't matter. I'm going to sit there the whole time, just like me and Cara used to do back in the day. We used to sit there and tell each other, my mom's going to hate you, just so you know it's going to be your fault for this. That's exactly what I would have been doing the whole time. Letting you know, if you survive and I die, you're to blame. My family will hate you. No one will ever love you again. Like, no shit. You will go the other way to avoid me badgering you the whole time that we're walking up said creepy stairs.
Even though it's usually 13 steps.
Sure. Those were not 13 steps. I know.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Okay.
So these sisters.
Yeah.
Take the shortcut.
Well, we're not talking about the sisters yet. Steve's first.
You mentioned the fucking stairs.
Well, yeah. Because they're together. These three are together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the only male, by the way. He's 5'11", 160 pounds. 35-year-old Stephen Parshall. Parshall. Yeah, Parshall? I'm gonna go with that.
Okay.
He was described as shy, easygoing, soft-hearted, and he was last seen carrying a light blue cloth duffel bag of dirty laundry into the Lewiston Civic Theater around midnight on September 12th, 1982. He was wearing a beige-colored long-sleeve pullover sweater with dark stripes, a two-tone brown ski jacket, and beige-colored pants. Oh, he was pimping. He was balling out. That sounds pimping. He lived in an apartment on 4th Street. This was some blocks from where Christina Nielsen, which we will get to in just a moment, also attended classes at the Lewiston Clark State College with her. Ooh, they be connected, these two. Police believe that they were at least maybe acquaintances. His girlfriend told police that she dropped him off at the theater where he was to do janitory work as a set builder so that he could do his laundry in the theater's washer and dryer janitorial system.
Oh, multitask.
Yes. It was confirmed by police patrol officers who recall seeing him enter the side building through the side door late that night. His prized clarinet was found on the scene, but he was never seen again. On the evening of December 12th, two sisters, Christine and Jackie, she also has a different name. She goes by Jackie, is what they call her. I have her real name later on in the story. But, who is 18 years old, her last name is Miller. They both love to perform at the theater.
Sorry.
They live together. They decided they were going to go to the Safeway, a nearby grocery store. Christine left a note for her boyfriend saying where they were going and that they intended to come back to make himself comfortable and to wait for the return.
So they were just going to get munchies.
Yeah, they were just going to do something. After waiting all night, the boyfriend reported the disappearance to the police. Police were unsure that Christine and Brandy, her name's Brandy, but she goes by Jackie. Mm-hmm. They were unsure where they went that night, but recognized their trip to the Safeway would have led them past the Lewiston Civic Theater. They were strong. They have strong suspicions that the two women were, for some reason, still not clear, for some reason went into the theater the night after they went to the grocery store, which, okay, so this article says that the store is like 4 blocks away. If you watch the show, the Cold Valley show, Badass Detective Jackie, walks said it thing. And it might be 4 blocks. It was pretty quick. But I don't know. It didn't look on the map. It looks a hell of a lot longer than 4 blocks.
Yeah.
Just saying. Way far. Wouldn't do it. I don't know. At nighttime. I don't know. I did dumbass shit when I was a kid, so I probably would have been out walking at night.
Yeah.
Ugh, so scary. And no, I'm not calling them dumbass kids, so fuck off. saying well, I was.
It's a general rule. Teenagers are dumbass kids.
Well, they're not teenagers.
They're, well, it's 18 and 20s.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
On their own in the first apartment.
Respectable well, yeah. young ladies. They're not teenagers. These are grown ass women. They're not, you know, still a badass.
18's not a grown ass woman.
It was back then, bro. If you already didn't have some babies, you were.
An old hen.
Yeah, old hen. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'd go with my sister. I take it back. I'd go with my sister if she wanted to walk to the store. Yeah. Me and Kara used to walk to Dairy Queen all the time.
See?
Get ice cream.
Yeah.
But, ugh, scary. Okay, so they go missing for some quite some time. Because, remind you, this happens in 1982. So, in 1984...
2 years later.
Mm-hmm. 14-year-old Merlin Mead was collecting cans along Idaho Highway 3 near the town of Kendrick. Sure. When he pulled his truck off to the side of the road to check out a promising spot, he hoisted himself over the guardrail and walked to the nearby tree line. Finding nothing of interest, he returned to his truck. While walking back toward the highway, three branches knocked off his hat. Knocked off the hat from his head. The hat tumbled over the ravine about 50 feet off the highway.
So he looked down the ravine.
Yep.
For his hat.
We lost our hat. Sorry, as I lost my spot. As he retrieved his hat, he noticed that first he thought was a deer school. Reaching down to pick up the school, he realized this is not a deer. This is a human. Two bodies, along with clothing and garments, were found at the location, identified as the remains of Christine Nelson and Jacqueline Miller.
Oh, those poor parents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, honey.
It had been over a year since their disappearance. Evidence suggested the killer may have first dumped the bodies near the road and returned later to move them further down the steep embankment. It was rumored that the two bodies had been tied together, and the police knowingly acknowledged there was rope found at the scene, and the rope was traced to the rope used on the ship prop at the Lewiston Civic Theater. With new evidence in hand, they began to add more to the investigation. This time, they go back to the theater using a luminol test, looking for blood. Unfortunately, there was nothing there at all. Since Steven's disappearance the same night, they thought maybe he had done something and then obviously ran. But there was nothing, and I repeat, nothing to make him look like a guilty person. His body has still not been found, but that does not mean that he is guilty of anything.
Yeah.
No one believes that he is guilty of any crime. The rope that they had found alongside Christina and Jackie's bodies was identified as rope used from the theater. They don't believe he is the killer because, for one, he left his prized clarinet
yeah.
at the theater that night. His personal vehicle, he left. His uncashed paycheck, left. And his girlfriend was going to go back and get him. Like, he made plans for her to come back.
Yeah, so he's obviously not going to run off.
He has no intentions of running off. So, they start putting some stuff together.
Noticing some patterns.
Noticing some things. But Steve, I do want to say that his girlfriend described him as a soft-hearted, a soft-spoken and kind-hearted man. Things just didn't add up. So she just wanted to insist that she knew he was a sweetie pie. And that he could not have and did not do anything shady.
Something that messed up.
Yeah. And so something is wrong. He is missing along with them.
Yeah.
We are, three are missing, not two and one did something.
Yeah.
So then they find out that the same night that that Steve was there, so was the same guy from before. From the Christina White and the other one. He's there.
At the theater.
Shady? Maybe.
Just hanging out.
Well, he also, I guess, did some, like, set rebuilding of sorts.
Oh, so it's easy to say he was working.
And he was an actor of sorts. He was an actor.
Well not of sorts. Entertainment,
not of sorts. I mean, I guess he was good, they say. But, okay. So, when the news that the police had a person of interest had been the last person to see the five people alive was most likely to believe the guy that was most likely to believe to have seen Christina and Jackie alive, too. The insinuation of it being this person is very overwhelming. Cops say they are 99.99999% sure this guy
did it. Mm-hmm.
No doubt in anybody's mind. Too many coinkadinks. Way too many coinkadinks. One coinkadink. Maybe. But we're rolling up on five.
Yeah.
That's too many coinkadinks.
Yeah.
For one person.
Yeah.
Like, that's some bad luck.
I know it's a small town, but come on.
And then, yeah, no shit, huh? Like, they play his, some of his, like, interview with the police and whatever, and he's like, I guess I'm just in the wrong spot at the wrong time. A lot. Bro. Like, you have the worst luck I've ever heard of in my life. Okay. So, the person of interest, they are almost 100% sure. The victim's family, everybody else, the press, once they learn that they have this guy, person of interest, they hunt, they track it down, they find out what his name is, they put him on blast. Now, I am not 100% sure that I'm allowed to say his name, but so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to Google this dude's name.
Yeah, see what happens.
If nothing pops up, I will not say this guy's name because it's just not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Type it in. Dude has a Facebook page for him, calling him out as the suspected killer of this. So I feel confident that me saying his name will not make him look guilty of murder.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. Because
that was the first thing that popped up on Google.
Yes. So, it is. Dun, dun, dun. Commercial. Just kidding. 36-year-old Lance Jeffrey Voss. Means nothing to me either. Okay. A longtime resident of the area. He was born November 15th, a day after my baby, 1947. He is an only son. We will leave his parents out of this. As a toddler, he spent his time growing up in Chicago. Standing at 6'4".
Jesus.
And weighing nearly 200 pounds. He is described as friendly and very strong. However, others do describe him as being a little weird and a little creepy. So today, in this article, quotations, in 2014, he was 67 years old, living in North Carolina. Leaving us to think, did he get away with murder? We never will know. So they never had the evidence to charge him, okay? But little is known about his youth. But then there's a story picked up out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere, but in his early 20s, he was caught and arrested for attempting to break into a mortuary in California. Weird? I think so. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
okay.
My first place to let's go break into
okay.
the mortuary.
I didn't know if I was by myself.
No.
Okay. So yeah, not a place to do it. Okay. So in early June 1973, 17-year-old Antoinette.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, anyway, she had a heated argument with her boyfriend on a beach in public. So she is seen storming away, walking down the beach, and then she disappears. The following day, her nude body was found floating near the shore. Her death was ruled a suicide by drowning, and her remains were taken to the Willow Glen mortuary, possibly named Ferguson's at the time, at 1039 Lincoln Avenue in San Jose, California, where they were stored to awaiting burial proceedings. According to the police report, several days later, on June 5th, 1972, around 5 a.m., a neighbor called police reporting a suspicious man outside the mortuary building. When police got there, they found Lance Voss carrying a flashlight, a knife, and a camera.
Why?
Don't know. A recent removed window screen was found leaning against the building. He was arrested and charged with burglary and later reportedly pled to a lesser charge.
Like trespassing?
Yeah, to trespassing. He publicly admitted, he never publicly admitted to the police why he was trying to break into the mortuary. But we do know that inside the mortuary, laying in there, was only the body of 17-year-old Antoinette and another recently deceased teenage girl. Was he a morbid, curious weirdo? Or was there something more sinister?
Was he wanting a trophy of some kind?
Ew, gross. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? This later gave the Lewis and Clark authorities some evidence that they thought maybe that they could connect to their serial killer. Like, they were just trying to be like, see, this is something he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what he's done in the past. According to some reports, after Christina called her mother telling her that she was sick, she went to the friend. I don't want to say his name. Clint's house for assistance. The home she visited on 2nd Street belonged to the mother, the girlfriend, and the future wife. They would be married in 1981 of Lance Jeffrey Voss. Police say that his future stepson was in the backyard washing the dog. When little Christina arrived at the home, Clint had no contact with her the whole time that day, but Voss repeatedly admitted to police that he had seen her shortly after she had vanished. In fact, the family members say that Voss, who gave Christine the washcloth on her forehead, would constantly be involved in the investigation, trying to help and donate his time in the search efforts. Hmm. During the search, Voss approached them, reportedly offering assistance. Like I said, his offer struck law enforcement as odd, not because he wanted to help, but it was like he was trying to push them away from areas. Like he was trying to find reasons why they would leave that area and go search in another area. So it's just kind of weird, they said. As police later found, his willingness became weird now that he is involved in more missing and murder youth in the Clark Valley. And his name would come up again and again. Sorry. Officers remembered that he would show up in weird, like he would just act weird. He'd show up and act weird in some places. Hmm. Like, I guess it was like a bar or something. Mm-hmm. Like he was once seen like wearing like, after one of these crimes, he had like a towel around his neck or something. So it was just weird. Hmm. No one ever knew why, but no one ever even questioned him either.
Yeah.
Onto why he did what he did. So sorry, I lost my spot again. Okay. As Christine rode her bike from Moscow to her job in Lewiston, eyewitness accounts put her last locations near Lewiston. Mm-hmm. The route that she took was well known to her and to Voss. Police reportedly pointed out that Voss's job at the time as a delivery man required regular deliveries between Moscow and the known location of her last being seen. Mm. So he was constantly on that same route.
Yeah.
And she was last seen from another person, they said, talking to a man by a brown van. That's what someone driving along the road said that they saw. Hmm. Investigators noticed that they had more in common than just that. They were both people known to go to the Lewiston Civic Theater. Weird. She had dreamed of someday being a TV producer who was employed there for some time at the theater. She was acquainted, they say, an acquaintance of his. They say that they think that even though that the people say that she was talking to someone in a brown van, mm-hmm. they believe that Voss did not own a brown van at that time. He reportedly owned a blue Mercedes Montero Gold. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. A blue Mercedes. Sorry. A gold 71 Camaro. And an old blue work truck and a motorcycle were the only things listed under his name in the DMV.
Yeah, but if he was traveling that road for work, would maybe, he be in a delivery van?
You would think.
Okay.
I think
just
so.
Just my note here.
I believe so. Voss also provided a detailed timeline of his events at the Lewiston Clark Theater the night that the three went missing. He told police that he had not seen Steve that night. That he vanished. He had worked with him all day, though, building the props for the upcoming show. In his statement to police, he said that Steve had left the theater around 9 p.m. to go to a party. Voss said he left the theater shortly afterward, around 9:30, to eat dinner at a pizza place. He said he returned to the theater around 11 p.m. to continue working But since he was injured, he went into the green room at the time to lay down on a sofa. He claims that he fell asleep from 10 p.m. until 4 a.m. the next morning. The three people, they believe, entered the theater that night. Despite the heavy doors leading into the theater building, he said he heard nothing while he slept. With regards to Steven and him having a relationship, it seems that they were fairly close. They would work on the set together a lot, and he was also trying to help with his disappearance as well. He could not be ruled out as a person to have knowledge mm-hmm. of anything. His dad's DNA, I wanted to make sure I got it right. His dad's DNA was entered into CODIS, the National Data Bank for any and all missing people and all that. Mm-hmm. So if at any point in time his body is ever found for whatever reason,
it'll come up as the same.
His dad will be told. The police publicly acknowledge that Voss has been questioned by authorities. According to reports, at one point in time in the investigation, he was asked to take a polygraph test, which he said, no, I would not want to do that.
It's not in my best interest.
He said it's not in his best interest to participate in the sharing of that. Which they said they knew, which means he was a liar. But a little else is known about the police's time. I do want to say that he has never, ever, ever, ever been convicted of any crime or wrongdoing mm-hmm. at all. And there is also another murder that he might be. He moved away from the Idaho area in 1999, but Colette Volley, I don't know, dude. It's a very hard name. Voliva. I don't know.
Volivia?
Yeah. Volivia? So in 1987, they had an affair working at the theater together. Her death is ruled as a OD suicide. He is the one that did find her in her apartment. Hmm. Weird. So he is involved in 7 cases total of either missing people and 1 dead, 1 knowingly mm-hmm. dead, and 1 suicide. Odds are not stacked on his side. But I do want to say that Henry Hampton was convicted and he was also a person of interest in the second murder I told you guys about, the body in the plastic bag. Sorry. The Christina Davies one. So they think that he's a good candidate for this. And he escaped a mental hospital in 1973 in Washington, D.C. and went to the Oregon-Idaho border. Mm-hmm. He was convicted of a murder and a rape of an 11-year-old girl back there in Washington, D.C. And some other crimes. And he was reported to have mental disabilities. Uh-huh. He was captured in 1993 by the U.S. Marshal. They give the officer's name. I just forgot to write it down. Sorry. In Lewiston, Idaho. So, you guys, they're still missing. Till this very day. And it's so sad.
That is awful.
But. Sorry, I had to, disappear for a quick second. My 2-year-old no longer believes in naps.
Well.
So. Lord bless us.
Toddlers and dictators are pretty much the same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably. So, you guys, that's the, like, the weird coincidences, I guess, of all these sad people.
I didn't realize that all that kind of stuff went down up there in Lewistown.
Oh, dude, there's more. That's just one of the crimes that have been committed up there.
Oh, wow.
There's way more. Way more murders and everything.
There's lots of places to hide a body.
There is. It's ridiculous. The rock, and no one even knows. Like, the Rocky Mountain is kind of like the ocean, dude. Mm-hmm. There's no way everybody's seen all of it. You know what I mean? They're huge. They're beautiful. They're extremely hard.
Oh, yeah.
To go through. You know what I mean? If anybody has ever been hiking up here, then you guys know. It's, like, super hard.
You gotta be serious.
You do.
Yeah.
You really do.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I've done a 20-mile hike before.
Right.
Ran out of water on the way down, too.
Oh, that sucks.
Because it's 10 miles each way. Yeah.
And now my little brother's here. How weird. Okay, so that's our story for this week. So you guys can check us out on Instagram at itiswhatitispod19, all one word. Twitter, itiswhatitis208, because that's where we're from. Facebook, itiswhatitis, a true crime podcast. And YouTube at itiswhatitis, a true crime podcast. And remember, you guys can donate or not. It doesn't really matter. We don't care, but I must remind you of it. Unfortunately, we are going to have to do an ad.
Okay.
Of sorts. Like one. I'm going to try to keep it really low, you guys. I'm going to promise to keep it low. I promise. I'm super nervous about it, but
we'll be all right.
YouTubers that follow us on YouTube, you guys are lucky and you guys will not have ads in your thing. So,
yeah.
There you go. It's weird, but it is what it is. So, you guys have a good week, and remember to watch these shows because they're awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.